Hey guys, welcome back to the Homework Assignment Podcast. I'm your host, RJ Patino. Today we're here with an amazing guest, David Carlin. He is the owner and founder of Deposit, and he's going to give us a little bit more background into what that is. But today we're going to talk a little bit and document kind of his journey, some of the ups and downs he's been through, and kind of how he's created his success and everything. So welcome, David.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Absolutely. I'm in a sweatshirt and pants, but it is hot as hell outside.
It
I'm
just is.
A freak. I don't know why I chose this outfit today.
Hey, good old Arizona, and you're going, you know, South Carolina, right?
Yeah, so South Carolina.
It's going to be a lot better up there.
And we got to meet because you're doing the great addition on my home.
Yeah, so we're doing some work.
I'll selfishly plug you. They do amazing work. Hire them, you know.
Thank you. We appreciate that. So, David, Deposit, what is Deposit?
It's like a fintech company. So just like Stripe, essentially, software, payments, everything, anything you could ever want for a business, from your payment processing to your marketing to any type of service, funnels, campaigns, trigger.
Yeah.
Everything for sales, to run your business. Correct.
That's awesome. How did that come about?
I've owned companies since I was 16. I never worked for anybody.
Solid.
So, you know, I met my wife 13 years ago. She's been in payments. She was one of the first people to facilitate the first online transaction back in, I think, 98. I owned a bike company at that time in Florida. Met her. She walked to one of my bike stores. I was there, fell in love, got married, got into payments.
Nice.
Was fortunate enough to exit some companies. And then a couple of years later, we founded Deposit and built all the software and the technology. So we service businesses all across the United States and Canada as well.
So with Deposit, did you have the idea or did you create like the software? Like how did that come about?
Everything. We have 50 engineers on staff. We write the code for everything. We create everything. There's not, when it comes to building a company, you know, you want to learn how every facet of your business operates. When you probably call Deposit in the beginning and you still may come, sometimes I do it. I may have been the customer support person. I may have been the salesperson. Right, I may have been the tech person. I know how everything operates my business. So when I hire people, I know how they should run their job.
Yep.
So, we were very fortunate. When we started Deposit, we had already exited another payments company and was able to just not worry about money and just build what we wanted with no time frame and no anything.
That's awesome. So 16, you started doing your own stuff, right?
Like, yep.
On your own. Okay. Yep. So you were in high school when that started?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yep.
So you never went to college, I assume?
I lasted 6 months. We kind of mutually agreed was not for me. But I was a DJ for a very long time, an entertainment company. I sold weed for a very long time. It's legal now, so I can say I don't really care. But I would say that selling weed taught me everything I know about business today. And what I mean by that is when I got into it, you know, I'd see, you know, these guys selling over here, these guys selling over here. I never wanted to be those guys. I was like, how can I find the source? Right? How can I be the plug? I don't want to be like everyone else. How can I find the plug? And because I was dealing with all different types of people in that industry, you could classify as an industry.
Yeah.
It taught me people skills and it taught me how to be smart in business. And I've kind of taken that, you know, as bad as it may, it's only weed. So whatever, it's not, you know, whatever, but it's helped me with the rest of my life. And then being a DJ, running crowds and running rooms.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that was just always my mindset.
So your journey started obviously at a young age. Were you always driven before that, like up to that point, or did your experience, for example, selling weed create that drive in you?
No, I'm just incredibly insecure. So I want to make money to let everyone know how rich I am. That's as simple as it is. Everyone acts like, oh, I bought this car, I got this house. Cause I'm like, no, you bought that Rolls Royce. You bought this because you want people to see you're successful. So as a kid, for whatever reason, I wanted the Rolex, I wanted the cars, I wanted the house. You're gonna see my name here on, you know, the NASDAQ. I'm gonna be a billionaire. All those things. Like, some people are just born to want more and want money, and some people are born to just want to float by. And there's nothing wrong with either. I just think a lot of people are taught that talking about money is bad, which it isn't. It's you know, if you're in business, how can you not talk about money? A lot of people, you know, don't want to put the work in and then don't want to live in the same place. And if you don't want to put the work in, fine, just be fine with that. But don't complain
or judge
when you have a hard time, you know, so.
Well, interesting. So how did those wants and everything that you were aspiring to have, right? How did that affect your relationships with like friends growing up or like your family? People who maybe weren't on that same page as you.
There's really nothing, you know, I've always felt like I want to take care of everybody. Like I always tell everyone, when I'm officially done, like this next company, Deposit, when I'm officially done, then I'm going to be done. I'll never stop working, but like buy a bunch of golf courses and chill or whatever. But like when I retire, my whole family on both sides retires.
Yeah.
It's not just me. I'm not going to shine and then see my sister working.
Yeah.
Like that's just not going to happen. Absolutely. Right. A lot of people don't really think about that. So, no, I mean, I have great friends from high school. They still do their thing. I don't really talk to many people. I have my wife who's my best friend. I'm friends with a lot of different people, but I work 7 days a week. I work every single day, 7 days a week, or I travel. So I don't have a work-life balance. I don't listen to quotes. I don't follow anyone else. I don't think about anything. I just move forward. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I learn lessons. I'm like, I don't do that again. Or sometimes it works out. So I don't need anybody else in my circle when I have the confidence that I have.
Yeah. See, and it's interesting you say that. So I'm going to kind of back up a little bit and touch base on something you said. So in my experience, and I've only been in the business, I guess, ownership industry for probably just under 7 years.
Yep.
And I've seen kind of two different types of business owners. There's the types that like, hey, I want to build something. I want to make some money, but the aspiration kind of has a cap or a plateau. It's like, hey, once I get like X amount of dollars, I'm going to be good and I'm okay if I'm there for the rest of my life. Then there's the people kind of like you yourself where it's like, dude, I want to go to the absolute top and just be everything I can possibly be. And those require two different lifestyles, two different types of dedication, right? So you're talking about like, hey, you work 7 days a week and there is no kind of like work-life balance. And I feel like right now there's a lot of talk out in society about like, hey, have a good work-life balance. Hey, make sure you take some time for yourself. What is your opinion on, you know, being able to, should you have a life balance? Should you be able to, you know, are there certain years where you should be 100% dedicated, driven, and then be able to have some time, you know, to yourself? Should you have time to yourself during the year? Like, you know, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I got you. So number one, you know, if I didn't marry the woman that I married, life would be different, right? So finding your partner and whatever that is, even if it's your partner or your best friend, is just so crucial in anything. Like if it wasn't for my wife, I would have like five planes in the tarmac. I'd be spending money like crazy and I probably would have already been broke. Right. Mm-hmm. So she is that other half of me is like, she tells us we're broke every day. And I'm like, no, we're not. Right. So that's one thing. Number two, whatever you're doing, do not think about is how much I'm going to make or is there a cap? Can I exit this company? Can I sell this company? I am not worried about making more money every single month. I mean, some people are like, well, good for you, Dave. Like, in the beginning, obviously, you have to worry about certain things, right? You maybe have to keep a job. You know, I always tell everyone, if you're building a company, and you could take a leap of faith and it could fail, but I always tell everyone, if you want to be safe and have a longer play, keep your job, and then when it goes over what you're currently making, then you can make the full-time switch, and now you have an extra 40 hours.
Yeah.
But you see people with, like, maybe, you know, online coaching programs or businesses or whatever, and they're the face of everything. They're not building a brand. They're building themselves, mm-hmm. right? So if they ever go to exit that company and try to sell it, they're going to get a lower multiple because the person buying is going to go, without you, there's nothing. So you can't sell the company a lot. So essentially, if you work up where it's like, I want to make $100,000 a month, I want to make $1 million a month, $50,000, whatever it is, right? If you can't exit that company, you're always going to be a worker essentially just for yourself where you have to start something new because you can't sell that for a big multiple. So that's what no one ever thinks about, not making money, about exiting.
Right. The exit strategy, the future of everything, right? Everybody's focused on the day-to-day operations and not the whole big picture. Yep. I think that's where a lot of business owners fail. I mean, it's 98%, Kyle, you can maybe back me up, of small business. I mean, small business owner, 98% are under $3 million revenue a year, something like that. Yep. And I think that's the one sole reason is because of nobody's focused on that bigger picture. They're setting up their foundations for the day-to-day operations, but not for, hey, we want to be a $10 million company instead of a $2 million company. Yep. And every time they try to grow, they collapse, right? They fall back. So definitely makes perfect sense. Have you ever had times from 16, when you started creating multiple, you know, running multiple businesses, were there any low moments? Any moments where you maybe had a little bit of doubt in yourself or what you were doing?
I would say there was moments when I had the wrong people around me, where again, to that thing where I've always like been the person to take care of everybody and had the wrong people around me where they were taking me down different paths with Will. And thankfully my wife came in. It's like, everyone out. I'm in. But you know, what I've learned, because again, I've been very fortunate to, you know, I've tried everything in terms of business, and I've been very fortunate that we've been successful in our company. So I've tried everything and half the things worked, half the things failed. And the one thing that I can say is, you know, let's say, not that I'm paying for this, but let's say you pay to be featured on a podcast, or you pay to someone to do your marketing, or you pay for something. You're always like, oh, that, you know, that person's going to help me get to the next level. I have yet to have one other person that I've paid for ever take me to any other level than besides myself. And then what happens is when you pay someone for their goods or services, because you're like, this is going to be the one, it's going to change my life. Now you've waited months because you think change is going to happen. 3 months later, it doesn't. You're back to the same thing. You feel worse about yourself, and you know, you've lost money and you've lost time. So honestly, I just bet on myself with everything. I don't pay for coaching from anybody. I don't pay for services for anybody. I think if someone's in an industry, they should pay for somebody if they want to learn from their pitfalls. If someone wants to have that, there's like, half of my clients are coaches, and there's a lot of really good coaches out there helping people to save time. But you know, when you're scaling a company, it's just stop focusing about what everyone else is doing, because you're probably too young to really, how old are you?
29.
You're too young to go there. But you know, I'm 40 now. You know, when I was a kid, it was, I had to be better than Dan or Mikey up the street. There was only a few of them I knew that I had a stunt on, that I had to feel like I was better than. Now you guys wake up online every single day and there's millions of people. Yeah. No matter how much you won that day, you're a loser. So it's really hard where you get wrapped up in all these different things where you don't know, you know, you lose sight in your confidence. That's why I always think, where if you just keep betting on yourself and don't worry about anybody else, you'll be happy. That's at least what I think.
So what drives you? I mean, obviously we talked about some of the money and some of the, is there anything else that drives you, like when you are having those moments of like lack of confidence?
I mean, you know, it's funny. Again, everyone's completely different. I am not perfect in any realm of anything. You know, you see a lot of people, you know, they will say different things. Like, for example, like, you know, Blake's a good friend of mine as well. He's in great shape. I'm not. And a lot of people are like, well, you know, there's actually this one podcast. If you don't like the way you look, then how can you be happy with yourself? Well, maybe my thought maybe is, obviously guys should get in shape. You should take care of yourselves. You know, I smoke, I drink, and I don't really work out. That's me. I don't really care. But I also think maybe if you don't like the way, you know, like everything about yourself, if I could just make myself richer, then people will respect me regardless.
Yeah.
Hey, so it's like, speaks. It's so in a weird way of that, it's like, I could come in fat, maybe smoke, I say whatever, but I just rolled up in a Rolls Royce and you didn't. So, you know, you're not going to ask me, what do I do? You're going to say, what do you do?
Yeah.
Right. No, there's a difference between that question. So, you know, there's nothing right or wrong, but I think we all get wrapped up in, you know, the different rooms. If you go to events or different coaching things, or just out in general, where, you know, you can look at other, you know, build, you know, other companies that are in your realm around the area. And if all you do is focus on what other people are doing, you're not spending enough time focusing on your business. So I think just staying in your lane, being true to yourself. If you want to wake up whatever time you want to wake up, if you want to smoke, drink, eat, whatever you want, that's on you. And that's your life, because it goes, you're still young, but like it goes by so fast, where it's like, for me, you know, I want to travel the world. I want to wake up and do whatever I want when I want. I want to be able to donate to charities. I want to, you know, get to a point where my dad taught me, really, when I was a young kid. My dad was very successful in his own right. He said, never invest more than 10% into anything. I don't care if I tell you this new crypto coin tomorrow is going to be $1 billion. You see people that constantly are going up and down, losing. They tell their stories. Yeah. Well, I failed. I went bankrupt. I never had that. My life has just been an upwards roller coaster, and it's never gone down, and it never will, because I don't put myself in that situation. So for me, I just want to buy a bunch of golf courses, help people out, help my family out, and buy what I want when I want. And then whenever I die, I die, and that's it.
So the freedom, basically.
It's pretty much, I guess, yeah. You know, the freedom to say, I want to get a golf simulator. I'm going to spend $500,000 for a room because of it.
Which he is, by the way, guys.
You know, which is like something
that's what
like,
we're building.
I'm building a house for my golf simulator.
Yeah, yeah, it's awesome.
That's crazy, you know what I'm saying? But like, people are like, do you ever think of that as a kid?
Yeah, I did.
You know, I just bought a lake house, $4.2 million for a lake house. Like, it's just because I wanted to be on the lake.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice. And there's people that would be like, that's nothing. I can buy a 40. Good for you. I'm not in your lane.
Yeah.
You know? And so this, that's where, as long as you stay in your lane, you never overextend yourself, you'll never be stressed and you'll live a happy life. But every day is different, you know?
So as you built Deposit, how did you find the people? Like, I'm sure you went through a lot of people maybe that aren't with you anymore, right?
Nope.
Like, no?
Nope.
So what's your, I guess, secret into finding the right people?
Good question. I've never had to fire anybody. Never had anybody quit either. People probably looked this up online. Not like saying that, Googling. Try to keep somewhat of a private life. So what I do for every single person is when I'm hiring somebody, I don't care what you went to school for, or what you love or whatever, because a year from now, your wants and needs may completely change. So what I tell every single person, let's say I hire a new dev person, we have 50 people on our dev team, and we have tech, all these different things. I tell you, if in a year from now, you're burnt out, you don't like that position, just come to me and we'll put you in a new position in the company. There's always ways for you to work up. You're essentially a CEO, you know, in your division. And I let people eventually earn in equity into the company so everyone has a skin in the game. Every single employee that works in our company works 7 days a week with no hours, with nobody watching them.
Hmm.
Because they all have upside, right? They all have upside and they're happy, where people get burnt out in jobs and they go to somewhere else because they want something new. If they always know that there's always, they can always maybe maneuver, change. Maybe not go up, but just maybe change. There's longevity to that. And then also, you know, I ask them, what do you want to do? You know, it's for everybody else. They really like, our whole companies are pretty much remote. And everyone feels like they're mini CEOs in their company, and we've no turnover. So it's just been great.
How many people do you guys have in Deposit?
Well, in the actual employees, I don't know, 80 or 90 people, something like that. In the actual employees, we have 1,000, probably 1,000 plus referral partners, 1,000 plus agents who bring us deals. So we have, you know, all the clients, obviously. But yeah, I mean, it's really... If someone comes to you, right, and you know, why would you ever stop someone if they want to be ambitious? You want them to grow. Yeah, or if someone comes to you and they're just unhappy in division, you can put them in a different spot. And it just, and if then imagine getting people that work 7 days a week, they're as passionate about your company because they know no one's watching over them. So a lot of people micromanage and everything else. They don't let the people kind of blossom. Obviously, there's certain things you have to do to keep that culture in check, but. Yeah, it's worked for us.
So your leadership inside your company, how do you guys lead with everybody remotely?
My assistant was asking me, I think you met Matt.
Yeah.
So he was like, I never come prepared. Cause I think it's the best, because it's the best way of doing it.
Yeah.
Is I was like, what do we do well? I was like, I never really think about it. I just kind of run through walls. He's like, which is true. He's like, you try to at least turn every one of your customers into a partner, and you've turned most of your employees into a partner. Yeah. But essentially I turn all my customers into a partner. And essentially, instead of just waiting for them to, you know, hey, just refer me business, there's different ways with appointments, forms. We actually create our own unique landing pages, deposit.com/their name. I give every one of my customers a fintech company in a box. You can give every one of your customers a real estate development, whatever you want to call it, company in a box, where they're incentivized to refer you deals because they get a split of it. Mm-hmm. So imagine every contact, you could hire a million employees, that costs a lot of money. What if you had, like I do, thousands of agents, thousands of referral partners that cost me nothing, and then we only make money when they bring deals because they marry their influence with what I have, my fintech company. They would marry their influence with their real estate development company.
Interesting. Yeah. That's an amazing setup. Well, what I like most about it is there's the talk of entrepreneurship and intrapreneurship, right? Mm-hmm. So the people that go in companies and they become, you know, they give 100% of their best and they climb the ladder, right? So what I've seen is, like, I've met a lot of people that I've wanted to bring into my company, but they are like, they had the entrepreneurship mindset. And so what happens when two, you know, pit bulls get in the same ring, they clash heads, right? And so the way it seems like you have it set up, and this is just my opinion, is like, you're allowing your people that work for you, your partners, by creating them into partners, you allow them to retain that sense of ownership, that sense of entrepreneurship, and the hustle stays alive, which is really, really important. And so you have them hustling for themselves, which in turn you're making profits on. Is that correct?
I mean, I never thought of it this way, but would Barstool Sports be where it is if it didn't do that model?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
That's exactly what it was.
That's awesome. No, that's phenomenal.
You know, and then really it's hard. Like even for what you're doing right now is great. Podcasts are great, but it's hard to, you know, and obviously you hit, you know, you were just telling me before we got on here how you guys are already like number, like really like 10 or top something 1%, like that. Yeah, really high up, yeah, up in the rankings. It's a lot of work that's going to be done for you. And don't stop doing this. But my mind, you know, it's like, how could I get on a million other podcasts? How could I get other people spreading out the word? Because it's so much work because I'm one person. Same thing when you're on social media trying to build up your brand. You're going to have to wait 5-10 years to maybe make it because only certain people get that instantly, like just viral and,
yeah,
and all that success. And we're always just chasing that. So essentially, I'm like, okay, you know, maybe an example of why, maybe, well, I'm here for you. I'm not here for anything, but I'm not pitching anything to you guys. But like, you know, obviously I'm here for you as a friend. But, you know, for me, I'm like, yeah, great. I'll be on a podcast. Great. I'll be on the show. Great. All this. Because for me, I'm just leveraging your influence, yeah, right? Yeah, essentially. 100%. And that's where if you could have that everywhere, you know, a lot of people, I have a really good friend of mine. He's such a nice guy. He's just a really bad CEO because he doesn't know how to like, he can't take another person maybe being better than him in the company. It's like, why would you not want that? I don't understand that. So I think, yeah, I mean, you know, the longevity and the growth of the company is really the Barstool model.
Do you feel like you're a patient man?
Ask a little more detail to that.
Well, so
I'm hyperactive. I go a million miles per hour, but I'm very patient with like nothing that upsets me.
So throughout your journey of, let's talk about deposit. Throughout your journey of deposit, did you ever have moments where you were just, why am I not where I want to be yet?
I'm already where I want to be. I could retire tomorrow and just go golfing if I wanted to. I wanted to be a billionaire, not there yet. I don't know if I want to be a billionaire anymore, to be quite frank with you. It's funny, the richer you get, outside of like cars and houses like that, the more I don't try to, like, I don't kind of like, you used to be flashy online more. I guess I still, some people may look us up. You can still see our trips and stuff. But like, I kind of like, don't show us the richer you get, the less you actually want to show.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll know what that's like one day.
No. But if you're talking, like, for example, this one new software that we're building in deposit, I'm 3 years writing, I don't write the code, I have our dev team. 3 years writing the code for this software.
Wow.
That I've spent anywhere between, months fluctuate, $50,000 to $200,000 a month on dev costs. It's at 200, unfortunately. It's nothing to brag about, losing money. But imagine building something for 3 years straight, losing money every single month, and having the patience to then know now we're finally going to launch in a couple months and get it out there. I bet on myself, self-funded. I have zero debt. On anything. I have no credit. I have no investors and I have had zero debt on everything. Hmm. So imagine building something for 3 years, never to letting anybody in the market know and just lose money for 3 years because there's going to be an exit to it.
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't do that. They would give up and they'd cry wolf. And that's why companies get sold. I'm actually looking to acquire this one company that it's only probably worth a couple $1 million, but he may be giving it to me for $500,000 or so because he's tired. He burnt himself out. So that's why companies get sold for pennies on the dollar, either because they made a bad business practice or they're burnt out. So you got to have patience, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So you, and I'm going to back up. So you never had investors in anything.
Nope.
So obviously, if I remember correctly on the kind of the story you're telling us, you had a different software company or deposit company, right? That you had that basically got you the money to start deposit. Is that correct?
We could have before then, but yeah, but just made it where it's like, spend whatever you want for as much as you want. Who cares?
Interesting. So do you consider investors a bad idea for business owners? Starting companies?
I would much rather. So there's a lot of people probably listening. They're like, good for you, Dave. I have no money. Okay, no problem. I'll give you a quick little thing you can do. You know, if you're building any type of company and let's say, number one, you're going to need someone who can do social media because that's just, I think you have to, you're going to die. Build a dream team. Build the person who can do the videography. Find the person who can swing the hammer. Find the person who's the architect. All these different things. Build a dream team and split all, you know, the whatever it is. Maybe you retain 50% because it's all your idea. The other 50%, get the 10 people and give them all equity from day one. Why would I rather, you know, if you take money from somebody and sell your soul, because you never know what that investor is going to tank that company. They come in, you give up equity to your company. Just getting money doesn't mean you're going to be successful, right? You could do the wrong thing, the wrong investment, whatever it is, and you fail. So if you, so would you rather, let's say, get $1 million investment for your company and have to do everything yourself, and now you hire employees and you'll, and you can't afford the best employees because now you have the money. I'd rather not get the money and get the best people at their craft.
Yeah.
Gonna grow a faster company.
Yeah.
And these people, this investor just wants his money back. He doesn't care. For some, like, we're investors in a lot of companies. Where's my check? Right. But that's all I, where's my money? I don't care. I'm not in your day to day unless I'm on the board, but I'm not, we're mostly just silent investors in companies. So if I have these 10 or five other people, right, because I couldn't afford them and they're all sweat equity and they're all now owners of the company. Yep. And it's just natural. Yeah, you're just going to grow faster and be bigger. You know, there's so many times where, you know, we have people actually right now for our company throwing money at us. And, you know, there's something said when you can control everything and don't have to report. You have all these companies that, you know, they get big investors and they do the wrong marketing, or, you know, for like, let's say for the tech I'm building right now, if I had someone who came in as an investor and had majority control of the company, if I didn't hit certain guidelines, they may see the investment and go, you know what, we're not making money, close it down, and just company's gone.
Yeah.
So I'd say hell no. Take no investors.
And I agree. Yeah. 100%. That's definitely the way to do it. So in the beginning, we talked a little bit about obviously the company, why you want to do it. We talked about, like, hey, you know, you don't want your family to ever have to work, friends, you know, you want to take care of the people you love. Do you have any family or friends besides your wife that work, have ever worked for you?
Yeah. I mean, essentially Matt, who's like an honorary brother, if you will, is like our assistant. I have worked, like, actual worked in the company. No, but I have people, I have family members who are in payments, who own their own payments companies that don't report to me. They run their own divisions.
Okay. And you helped obviously get them to that point, right?
Correct. Yeah. We have so many people where I have people that I've gotten into payments. They own their own payments company, and now they have their brother, their sister, their mom, their dad, which is super cool. Like, in payments, we make a percentage off of every single sale, online, offline, if they're a client of ours. It's an amazing business. So there's nothing wrong. You know, I work with my wife, right? So that's crazy. Like, but if you have the right partner, like, my wife actually is gone today. It's the third time, and we've been married for 10 years. It was only a couple years ago. So like 3 years ago, for 7 years straight, I've never been a night apart from my wife after we got married. So it only happened three years ago. It's only been three times for 3 days. We talk about business all day long, and it's just like, why would I not want to?
Yeah,
so cool. Don't mix, like, every stupid quote you could ever think of. And quotes are funny. I post the dumbest stuff online. And again, everything works differently for everybody. There's no fault.
Agreed. Yeah.
But like, eat this, do this, do, like, shut up, get to work. Like, that's all it is. Like, just stay in your lane, do work, and, you know, that's it.
Yeah, and there's so many people that are focused. I see this all the time. They're focused on absorbing all the information, learning how to do stuff, but they actually never get to the doing part. They get stuck in trying to figure out and plan and do this, but they don't actually take action, and therefore they never get results. You know what I mean? So
yeah, there's just people that, you know, oh, I'm not confident. Do not start a business. Go work on yourself. I don't know what it is, what you need to do, because if you're not confident in yourself, well, I need to go to these events or hire these coaches and everything. So you're not a confident person, and now you want to surround yourself with pit bulls. You're going to feel even worse about yourself. Yeah. So, you know, it's just, you really need that partner in your life or that best friend who can be by your side. If you're not confident, you can't pay someone to make you feel better. It's just not going to happen. Like, when, you know, if we go golfing tomorrow and you beat me and let's say you're leaps and bounds a better golfer than me. There's no way in hell I could ever beat you. I'll tell you, I'm going to beat you tomorrow. Because just the way, like, even though I just lost, I'm still like, I got you tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then I'll keep on going. So it's, how many punches can you get? How can you stop crying and everything? How can you stop looking online? And how can you just put the work in for years? You have to look for years ahead, not worry about your life changing tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. That was a perfect precursor for my last question for you. And I actually have had so many more. Like I said, we've kind of been going with the flow. But to end this, how has success, money, the, you know, you becoming who you are, I mean, how has the success you've gained changed you and who you are, or has it, I guess is the question?
No.
No?
No. I'm the same person. I don't, so I also don't really mess with many people. When I join all the different clubs that we're members of, I'm a big golfer. Most of my friends are the caddies or the staff because I'm trash. That's who I relate to. You know, I don't really care. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I don't relate. I don't care about talking about the next car or the next house or like, just shut up. I don't really care. And I don't really hang with those circles. So it's like, I love money, but I also love like, not saying trash, but I'm from Philadelphia. So it's like, we are trash. Like everyone from that area is kind of like just white trash, if you will. But it's changed where, you know, it's I guess some situations are uncomfortable where I just don't feel like it's weird. If I go into a room where like I'm going to Myrtle Beach next weekend for one of our partners, employees, and he does very well, but it's 20 guys golfing in Myrtle Beach. It's a crap area. And all these guys are workers, construction. So it's like, I kind of have to bite my tongue where it's like, if they complain about work, well, how was your week? I'm like, oh, amazing. Like, I can't get into that. And then if I'm at like a dinner party that I have to go to or something stupid, like I don't sniff wine or like eat weird cheese or anything that's stupid. So I don't wear name brands or any stuff. Like, I'll buy diamonds and stuff like that because that's cash, right? But it's weird where I still, and that's where probably as a kid, because, you know, I'm insecure in everything and I let my insecurities drive me, right? Because I'm so insecure, that's what drives me, right? That's why I buy the things and do the things that I do. So I still have never felt comfortable in any circle with anybody. So I haven't changed and I never will change, and that's totally fine. But you see a lot of people that unfortunately, they're so like, and there's nothing wrong with it, right? There's different things that people could look at me and go, that's obnoxious, whatever. Like every shirt, Gucci, this, yeah. Like everything's just like so fake. They overextend their lives so much that if one little thing happens, they lose it all. Yeah. That I think just staying in your lane and being patient is the key to success, and being around other people that if you're going to pay for someone else to mentor you or join a company or whatever it may be, you know, look up to the person that outside of financially, that person, their life, that marriage, that whatever it may be, that's who you want to be. Because if you just, I want to be like this guy and you're around a douchebag who, you know, let's say cheats on his wife left and right, you know, does cocaine every single weekend, it gets arrested. Like, you have so many people like that people pay to mentor, like to get mentored by someone who just got out of prison. It's like what do you talk? That's your role model? Like, so I think in all aspects, whether it's faith, whatever it is, surround yourself with those people. Don't chase the money and network to what you were saying before. Just keep networking. And the biggest thing to make you successful in any industry is, how can I turn every customer into a partner? How can I turn every customer into a partner? And that's what Deposit does with our software, is it lets you turn every customer into a partner.
We might have to join Deposit, Kyle. You know, he got in here. He's like, hey, you know, I'm never going to try to sell you anything. I'm like, well, I'm already sold. So,
but that's the, everywhere I go, it's everyone, you know, they always get, awesome. What do you do? Like, why are you happy? Because I'm just, you know, we stay in our own lane.
Yeah,
you know,
that's so phenomenal. David, I mean, everything that we've talked about has just been amazing. Thank you for joining the show. I mean, it's been fantastic. And guys, I mean, for all of you guys that are starting businesses or, you know, on an endeavor to create something for yourself, I mean, everything here in this episode was key. I mean, we've touched base on a lot of different topics throughout the, you know, last 20 episodes, but this, I think, is, I'm in 100% agreement on everything we've talked about today. It truly is just taking action, figuring out what you want to do and counting on yourself, because unfortunately you can't really count on anybody in the world. It's all up to you. And we sit here sometimes as business owners hoping for, you know, some handouts and stuff like that, you can't do that because you're never going to be able to succeed. So
I got a backup builder for the house in case he messes up. Already ready. Crew, just wait.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm the worst person to have on. You'll have so many people be like, dude, you had that asshole on? Like, yeah.
This has been phenomenal. This is one for us a really important episode 21, and we're honored to have you. So we appreciate you stopping by. Right. And guys, we're gonna post links to deposit down below and everything if you guys want to check that out. And obviously sounds like a great business venture to be a part of, and we'll have all of our links down there to check out what we do. And if you guys have any comments or questions, drop them below. We're always taking new questions to help kind of guide us on the path to success. So thanks for joining.
Cool. Thank you.